I'm getting along.
Well, sorry about that.
Today's March 25th, 2015.
Okay.
This is a joint committee on Ways and Means, subcommittee on Natural Resources. Today is a public hearing on House Bill 5018, Department of Environmental Quality. We are first going to call up Ms. Connolly and Mr. Whitman, and then we'll go ahead and open the public testimony. So we'll open.
And Mr. Chair, members of the committee, I would just let you know that we have answers from questions yesterday saved under yesterday's date, and the presentation that the DAS presentation is saved under Monday, the 23rd.
All right, Ms. Connolly.
Co-Chair Rayfield, for the record, I'm Kathy Connolly from the Chief Financial Office at the Department of Administrative Services. And I'm doing our usual agency overview. DEQ aligns with the governor's 10-year plan for a healthy environment's vision of managing Oregon's natural resources to sustain economic, environmental, and human health by continuing and expanding the Clean Water Partnership, monitoring for air toxics in new areas of the state, supporting the ballast water monitoring and oil spill cleanup programs, and instituting a new materials management program to address how solid waste is managed. From the beginning. This is a short expenditure history of the governor's budget. In this slide, I've split apart the other funds to show other funds limited, which is the bright yellow, and the other funds non-limited, which in this department's budget is important because the other funds non-limited is really their Clean Water State Revolving Loan Fund and is not part of their operations. The other thing that I would note is that the lottery funds in their budget are all Measure 76 lottery funds. All of them are used by the Water Quality Program, and this funding in the coming biennium will be essentially, we hope, essentially flat, but certainly will not be increasing. This is similar to a slide the agency showed you. It's just another visual of how their expenditures are used. About 60% of their budget really is their operations, their personal services, supplies, and capital outlay. The balance is mostly debt service and payments to others. The non-limited payments to others is, again, the loan fund, debt services tied to the loan fund, the pollution control bond fund debt service, and then finally they have payments to others. Those include payments to local governmental units, payments to non-governmental units, and they also have funding that goes to the Oregon State Police Fish and Wildlife Division, ODOT, and the Oregon University System. This is their revenue history. This gives a longer picture. Again, I've split the other fund non-limited, which is the gray, to divide it from the orange color, which is the other fund limited amount, which is really their operations. Lottery funds are almost very difficult to see. That's the small green one. And as you can see, that has been dropping and is now below the 2005 seven biennium level. It's the governor's budget proposes $3.8 million for that. So otherwise, you can see there isn't, and then again, you can see the investment of the governor's budget and general fund. But even that is really just beginning to approach the level it was in the 2007-09 budget, even with the additional investments from the governor's budget. This is simply a list of the investments that the governor's budget makes. The agency covered those with you in detail. I'd just like to discuss briefly Package 090, which is not an agency budget package. It's a package that CFO analysts do in the budget to adjust things between agency request budget and the governor's budget. In this case, DEQ did enter into discussions with the governor's natural resource office about how they could better manage or adjust some things in their agency request budget to fund some of their own packages by adjusting. And that, they made reference to that when they were discussing with you their list of potential reductions and noted that some of them had already been used by the governor's budget. Those were reductions that I put into the package 090 to fund some of those packages internally. Finally, this slide is the fees and other changes. This is really just to make a record for the committee. We are asking for these fee changes to support the governor's budget. They are included in the governor's budget on the revenue and expenditure side. We have some potential appropriation and budget changes that we may request. The agency, if it is awarded certain federal grants that it's applied for, we probably will be returning to ask for additional limitation. And in one particular grant, we'd be asking for a limited duration position. The agency is also seeking to reclassify employees to align their classifications with their workload. That would be a package that we would work with LFO on developing. The agency will. So we are going to be requesting that. And finally, the KPM changes that the agency has requested and discussed with you in their presentation. So that is about it for CFO, unless you have any questions.
Okay, and it doesn't look like there's any questions, so we'll turn it over to Mr. Whitley.
Good morning, Co-Chair Rayfield, members of the committee. For the record, my name is Richard Whitman, Governor Brown's Natural Resources Advisor. I'm here to talk to you today about clean water. And so why am I here today? Why did I pick this particular moment? Well, there are two reasons. One is really an administrative reason, and the other is a more substantive reason. First of all, administratively, the state has chosen to divide responsibility for clean water among many agencies. The Department of Environmental Quality has the lead responsibility for clean water, but the Oregon Department of Agriculture has been given the responsibility to lead the effort on clean water on farmlands, and the Oregon Department of Forestry has been given the responsibility to lead the effort on forest lands. The Oregon Watershed Enhancement Board also invests significant public dollars into clean water through its grant programs. The Oregon Department of Fish and Wildlife also, with its work to protect fisheries, has significant work related to water quality. Finally, the Department of Geology and Mineral Industries is sort of the science agency for the natural resource agencies, does important work related to water quality. And last but not least, the Oregon Water Resources Department is the agency responsible for water quantity. Also does work related to quality. So we have this divided responsibility, and I want to talk to you all about that a little bit today. The second reason I'm here today is talking about clean water is because Oregonians care deeply about clean water. When we have public opinion surveys on what issues matter most to Oregonians in terms of the environment, repeatedly, clean water comes up at the top of the list. Clean water is part of our identity as the state of Oregon. It's part of what people think about when they come to Oregon or when they stay and build families and communities here. So I'm starting with a slide that you saw earlier this week from Director Peterson that I think you're all familiar with. And I'm going to use this as sort of my jumping off point for a brief presentation this morning. And essentially what this slide shows is that the proportion of Oregon's waters that are in good or excellent condition over on an overall basis increased from about 27% in 1990 to about 50% in 2005. That's almost a doubling of the proportion of our waters that are in good or excellent condition. This is a continuation of what is really a success story for Oregon and the nation in terms of cleaning up our waters. But you'll also notice since 2005, things have flattened out. And we've had the red bars, as you know, are the proportion or the number of waterways with declining trends, and the blue bars are the number of waterways with improving trends. So we were starting to go in the wrong direction a little bit in the late aughts, and then more recently we've turned that around a little bit. Could I have the next slide, please? So I want to delve into a little bit more detail just to give the committee a little bit of context about why the governor has proposed so much of a focus on water quality in terms of the DEQ budget. So why is water quality improving or declining? Well, when you look behind the numbers that were represented in those graphs, you see some things that I think are important for people to understand. First of all, again, success stories. We see improving, not declining trends in temperature, nitrogen, bacteria, many of the things that people normally think about is water pollution when they think about our rivers. We're actually doing better, even though population in the state of Oregon is increasing and the burden, if you will, on our waterways is increasing. We do have a few areas in terms of types of pollutants that are declining, particularly something called BOD. Could I see the next table, please? So I'm going to drill down just a tiny bit further. Temperature. This is 2004 to 2013. So we saw improving trends in temperature in 38% of the sites where we have long-term monitoring and declining trends in 6%. That's a pretty healthy number in terms of how we're doing in the state of Oregon. Same thing for nitrogen. Again, for BOD, we're seeing some issues going in the other direction. So when people talk about our farmlands and our forest lands in particular and non-point source pollution and give the impression that we're in crisis, that things are getting worse, that is not true. Actually, things are getting better in Oregon, and the real work to be done here is to build on the successes that we have been having. Next slide.
Quick question. Yes. Richard, remind me again what BOD.
Co-Chair Rayfield, Senator Hansel, BOD is biological oxygen demand, and it's essentially the level of oxygen in water, and that the oxygen levels are reduced when there are there's chemical processes in the water that are taking up a lot of that oxygen. A lot of times it's caused by organic litter in waterways and things like that. But again, you really have to drill down and look on a site-by-site basis. So these are the sites where there is long-term water quality monitoring in the state of Oregon. The little purple diamonds there are sites that the legislature has funded as new sites in the last several biennia for additional water quality monitoring, particularly focused in agricultural areas of the state. Next slide. So all these success stories that I've talked about. So what's the problem? Why are we asking for additional resources to focus in this area? Well, first of all, there are some areas of the state where we still have relatively poor water quality. You'll see the areas circled on this map are some of those areas. The Klamath, the Lower Willamette areas up in the Umatilla River, and then out in the Powder and Malheur basins. We still have water quality problems around the state. There are some areas where trends are going in the wrong direction still. And then finally, we have some new types of pollutants, toxics to some degree, and pharmaceuticals that are showing up in our waterways in increasing levels that we had not been monitoring carefully until fairly recently. So those are the problems. Next slide.
Mr. Chair.
Yes, and I just have Richard, looking at the problem areas, I mean, the Portland area, you know, I think is kind of self-evident given the industry and population there, but what is causing the problems in the other areas, you think? Is it agriculture-related, or why are those problems, what's leading to those problems? Do you have a sense?
Co-Chair Rayfield, Senator Denbrough, it really varies from place to place. In the place that I'm probably the most familiar with, the Klamath, to some degree there are natural conditions in the basin that create water quality problems, and so we're dealing with somewhat of a stacked deck already. So, for instance, in the Klamath, we have Upper Klamath Lake, which is very shallow, which in to some degree naturally is declining in terms of water quality over time. There is a significant amount of both forest and farmland above Upper Klamath Lake. The upper part of the basin, the water quality tends to be much better. Once you get into the lower part of the Klamath River where we have some dams, We have problems with basically still pools of water where we have temperature and nutrients essentially collecting in those sinks, and we have very poor water quality in those areas. The Umatilla River, again, a mix of agriculture and forest lands, and in the Malheurin Powder, probably primarily agricultural uses. So obviously in the lower Willamette, the issue is primarily urban, frankly, with some upstream contribution from agriculture. So it depends from place to place. And when I come to the end of my presentation, I'm going to talk a little bit more about the Willamette. And so even though you see the Willamette circled, it's actually another success story.
Mr. Whitman, how much longer do you have? We have 14 people signed up to testify.
Yes.
So.
Co-Chair Devlin, I am going to be very quick here. I've got about a five-minute presentation.
Okay.
Yeah. Okay. So again, coming back to what I started with, we have many agencies involved in work on clean water, and that creates a need for coordination and a need to make sure that the agencies are working together in a collaborative way. Also, finally, the nature of water quality issues that we're dealing with at this point are diffuse. They're not end-of-the-pipe issues. They are working with landowners on an individual basis, figuring out what their particular problems are and bringing the resources to help them fix those problems. It's very labor-intensive. Okay, so I'm now actually going to switch to this handout, which you should all have in your materials, and talk about it. This is a two-pager on the Clean Water Partnership, and I'm just very quickly going to run through it. The notion of the Clean Water Partnership is to devote some additional resources from general fund to doing four things. First, documenting trends in water quality. I've shown you what some of those trends are already. I think it's important that we be able to tell these sorts of stories to Oregonians so they understand what's going on in their communities. Two, to target resources. We are spending over $100 million a year, state and federal, on non-point source pollution in the state of Oregon. We need to be targeting that money intelligently. Three, to administer a proposed new clean water fund, which I'm going to talk about briefly in just a second, that will help landowners deal with some of these issues. And finally, to help grow organically, if you will, the water quality trading program, where we've had some successes in the state of Oregon. So trying to move along quickly here, let me talk about the Clean Water Fund for just a second. The Clean Water Fund is in was formally part of the proposal for the Working Farms and Forest Initiative. It was directed toward working landscapes. It is still directed toward working landscapes, but we are proposing to sharpen the focus of it a bit on water quality in particular, and to help landowners with incentives to improve watershed conditions. We have many existing programs that provide that sort of funding, but we need it. By supplementing the existing sources of funding, we will be able to target those resources to where they're going to make the most difference in terms of water quality improvements. So that's the Clean Water Fund, and I'd be happy if there are any other questions about that. That is a work in progress. We are continuing to meet and talk with stakeholders about the Clean Water Fund, and the policy piece of that is in will be in Senate Bill 204, which we are working in Senate Environment and Natural Resources Committee over on the Senate side. Okay. So that's the whole purpose of the Clean Water Partnership, again, is to bring new tools, primarily through non-regulatory mechanisms, to do this last increment of work on our farmlands and forest lands in a collaborative way, working with the farm community, the small woodland community in particular, with a focus on farm and mixed farm and forest lands. This program is not targeted primarily at the industrial forest lands at this point in time. It's the main focus of this is farmlands and mixed farm and forest lands. So with that, let me just deal with the last two slides here. This is a picture from 1940. It's from a film that was produced by Governor McCall before he was governor, called Pollution in Paradise, about the pollution problems on the Willamette. This is the Willamette in 1940. Those fishermen are fishing right next to a sewer outfall. Next slide. This is the Willamette in 2013. We now have the annual big float on the Willamette, and we have people swimming and recreating on the Willamette. Again, this is part of the identity of Oregon. Oregonians in both urban and rural areas care about clean water deeply. This package of budget proposals for both DEQ and all the other agencies that are listed in the handout that I provided is part of a coordinated effort to make those next steps that Oregonians want to see for clean water. Thank you.
Thank you. Any questions? Thank you very much. Can we see if there are any more signed up? One more. Okay. So I'll call up the first group.
Two more.
Okay. So we have about 15 people signed up, so I'll be able to give people about 3 minutes each. I guess it's a different person. Joe Whitman and Dale Fike. There, Joe. So different from Richards. There we go.
First or second?
Second.
All right.
You signed it first, didn't you?
Okay. Yes.
Co-chairs Devlin and Rayfield, members of the subcommittee. My name is Joe Whitworth. I'm president of the Freshwater Trust. We're headquartered in Portland, Oregon, and we have about 50 employees. And we are a 501c3 of the Internal Revenue Code. And for about the last, 32 years, we've been working with landowners to get things done on the ground. As a general matter, we support what DEQ's budget is doing here. And we'd like to see that going forward, but we want to speak particularly to the budget package number 128, focused on quantifying conservation outcomes. So as I noted, we have been working with landowners on the ground for years. We were the chief petitioner for the original Measure 66 that set OWEB in motion and started putting more and more voluntary actions on the ground across the state. We're involved certainly with policy advisory committees across the several agencies and initiatives that are happening with regard to water in a long-standing way as well as currently. But over the last several years, we have been involved in helping regulated entities meet their compliance by utilizing quantified conservation to bundle bushels of nature and measure the benefit so that those regulated entities can meet their compliance standards under the Clean Water Act. The Natural Resource Advisor Whitman just noted that small success that we've started here in Oregon that has kicked off a little bit of a broader trend nationally. We'd like to see that continue. But in this process, it's become clear that the existing data that is being used around our impaired waterways, as well as our voluntary actions that are happening, haven't been consistently tracked. They have really been kept in a narrative form across several agencies, across several actions. And what we need to be able to have is an ability to translate across those actions and assess our effectiveness in real time. Right now, we are able to do that, and that's it's a relatively new thing, but we can create a set of metrics and set of measures that can track across all the agencies so that we do have a common language. We know where we are, we know where we need to go, and we know how fast we're getting there. Richard Whitman showed that there was a 50% of our streams were in pretty good shape. That means 50% of our stream miles are not in good shape. The difficulty is that we have to figure out which ones are which and where do we allocate our resources correctly in order to fix those pieces that need fixing. And Before, it was simply a matter of do everything everywhere, but we now have the ability to be much more precise in how we measure those investments, measure those results, and really get credit for on those lands that we have made improvements and understand where we need to focus investments going forward. So without going too further into the detail, I'd like to bring my comments to a close and thank you for the opportunity to testify in support of Budget Package 128.
Thank you. Please proceed. Please proceed.
I'm Dale Feek from Forest Grove, co-chair representing Rayfield and other members of the committee. I talked with Risa before the meeting, and I did email her this morning my public comment testimony to you, and she's passing it out to you now. So I just want to summarize some of that. I also sent two documents, and those documents will be forwarded to you from Risa. So you'll receive those in addition to what I've already she's already emailed to you. Since you're reading that, I don't know what I should say. As a teacher, I usually wouldn't ever pass anything out to my students till I talked. And now you're reading and I'm talking and I don't know what you do better.
Stop reading.
You will stop reading or I will stop reading. So since you're going to read it, I am not going to read it to you. So I'm just going to say some statements. One, I've been involved in many, many DEQ and environmental quality meetings, made public comment to the Environmental Quality Commission, lobbied very hard for the Environmental Quality Commission to make good, effective decisions that really protect public health and safety and the environment. And to do that, they do need an adequate budget. And so included in your package is a resolution that I wrote and Democratic committee passed. The last therefore of that is to really have adequate funding so DEQ can do their mission to protect, as I said, public health and safety. So without adequate money, they can't do their job. And I'm really pushing them hard to do their job, to protect the air, to make sure it's safe to breathe in all areas of the state, in particularly Washington County right now, but also to protect the water. I've been attending the Blue Ribbon Water Committee meetings. It's the state level group, I think, appointed by you, the legislature, and it gives the highest level advisory committee for water quality. I've made many public comments on that. My concern has been is that members of the committee are mainly industry based. I'm the only citizen that's a citizen on that goes to those meetings. And my concern is that industry influences too much how much money is being allocated for DEQ and doing their job in protecting water in Oregon. And so I'm really pushing to do the increase at least 2.9% of their budget, so at least they can get permits out. They're real behind in water permitting, and especially with Intel, $2-3 billion plants, one of them is outdated already, so my time's about up. I have my watch here. So as I said before, I want to also say Senator Dimbrough and Representative Greenlick did a six-hour workshop. Many, many department heads of DEQ participate in that. I was there, and I really recommend the efforts that they are having to increase the quality of air and water in Oregon. Thank you.
Thank you. Okay. Any questions? Seeing none. Thank you very much. We'll call up Mark Yeager and Brian Wegener. Please proceed.
Thank you.
Co-Chair Devlin, Co-Chair Rayfield, members of the committee, thank you for the opportunity to testify before you today on House Bill 5018. My name is Mark Yeager. I am the Utility Services Manager for the City of Albany, and I'm testifying on behalf of the Oregon Association of Clean Water Agencies, a private, not-for-profit, professional organization of Oregon's wastewater treatment and stormwater management agencies. Our members provide services to 2.4 million Oregonians and serve 62% of Oregon's homes and businesses. House Bill 5018, the governor's recommended budget for DEQ, contains a 12% increase to the water quality permitting fees to avoid the loss of six FTE in the DEQ wastewater permitting program. That's the policy option package number 123. Because of the history of poor performance in the water quality permitting program, we are taking a neutral position on the proposed fee increases. We're in a difficult position here. We have had a long-standing collaborative relationship with DEQ to protect and enhance Oregon's water quality. We want to continue to work with the department to improve the water quality program. The continued partnership is important to local governments. We recognize that reducing funding and loss of permitting positions cannot possibly help the program. A strong DEQ, one that issues quality permits in a timely manner, provides facility inspections to ensure that first-class operations occur, and reviews discharge monitoring reports regularly is critical to our mission. These services would benefit the environment, local government, and all Oregonians. We need to have current permits to reflect current operations and to allow innovation and use of new technologies at our facilities. Efforts to improve the water quality permitting program began in 2001. When the permit backlog was one of the highest in the nation. Since then, multiple efforts to retool the program have not resulted in consistent performance improvements. In 2004, the Blue Ribbon Committee of Industry, Government, and Environmental Representatives developed a comprehensive set of detailed recommendations for program improvements. In 2005, we supported Senate Bill 45, allowing the department to implement 3% annual fee increases without legislative action to help stabilize program funding. However, once again, the permitting program has one of the highest backlogs in the nation, with 80% of the permits for our largest facilities being expired and administratively extended. We acknowledge that the permitting environment has become more complex, but the current state of the program does not reflect well on permittees, the department, and it does not help improve Oregon's water quality. A path forward to sustainable performance must be found. We acknowledge and support the director's proposal to include a budget note, a legislative budget note related to an outside consultant review of the permitting program. With regard to the proposed fee increase, getting the program back on track to meet the program objectives is a shared responsibility of the permitted facilities and all Oregonians. The 2004 Blue Ribbon Committee had a funding split recommendation of 60% fees and 40% general fund, and that was the basis behind the program funding agreement embedded in Senate Bill 45, the one that allows the 3% annual fee increase. Should the committee support the 12% fee increase, we urge that the funding mix be maintained moving forward. We appreciate the department's sincere commitment to making water quality permitting program improvements and look forward to working with the department in the future. Again, thank you for the opportunity to testify, and I'm open to any questions.
Okay. Please proceed, and then we'll go to questions.
Okay. Hi, I'm Brian Wagoner with the Tualatin Riverkeepers. Co-Chair Devlin and Co-Chair Rayfield and committee members. I'm here to testify in favor of House Bill 5018 to restore DEQ's capacity to protect and restore Oregon's environmental health. In particular, we're interested in we're concerned about the significant backlog of the issuance of wastewater and stormwater permits, and we're looking at Package 123 in the governor's budget to help fix that problem. Currently, Oregon has one of the greatest backlogs of water quality permits in the nation. And expired permits not only inhibit progress towards restoring those 50% of the waters of Oregon that are not high quality, but there are also economic and real economic consequences for permit delays. For example, the watershed-based permit issued to Clean Water Services combines the municipal separate storm sewer permit and the wastewater and the permits for the four wastewater treatment plants. That permit expired in 2009, and it's on a five-year cycle for renewal. So 6 years ago it expired, and it's been administratively renewed since then. The problem with delay is that it inhibits a lot of the great innovations that can help not only the environment but our economy and our ratepayers. For example, Clean Water Services is working on a natural treatment system where it uses wetlands at Fernhill to do the final stage of treatment from one of their wastewater treatment plants. They can't implement that without a new permit. That process increases the capacity of Clean Water Services for future growth, future economic growth in Washington County, as well as is a cost-efficient way of treating water that helps our ratepayers. So by keeping permits current, we are able to keep current with our innovations and improve the processes that are happening in the local watersheds. And I also wanted to just give a support for Package 124, which is dealing with non-point source pollution. In the Tualatin River Basin, we've made great progress with our wastewater treatment plants, but the remaining challenge is largely with non-point sources or stormwater runoff. And that's a long-term problem. It took us, we've probably been developing the valley for 150 years, and to convert it to more better ways of treating stormwater, it's going to take a long time. Some of that is happening with new construction, is doing it a better way, but also there's a need for retrofit projects, and the Package 124 supports projects for non-point source pollution. We think that's a very good investment.
Any questions? Yes, Representative.
And Mr. Hager, I just had a couple of questions for you. Number one, as you, from outside the agency, I would be curious as to, you know, what do you see are some of the issues with the backlog on your end, and what might be causing part of that problem? And then also the other portion of that would be, are there any specific policy option packages that you think would help? Outside of, I know you were neutral on the fee increase, but you say that obviously cutting staff is certainly not the way to go. So,
Co-Chairs Devlin, Co-Chair Rayfield, members of the committee. Director Peterson, in his testimony in the previous couple days, has talked about some of the challenges that are out there. There are certainly challenges with lawsuits, with standards, some court opinions that have made things more complicated. However, I think that the challenge that the department faces is to get focused on choosing some of the highest priority issues that they need to deal with. It's very difficult as an outsider to be able to say how they're making those choices and what I would do differently if I were working for them or if I were inside the office. So I can't really speak to the specifics there. With regard to some of the other policy option packages that would help, certainly when we think about water quality overall, I think the packages that are associated with helping on non-point source pollution and the other issues Richard Whitman spoke about, I think those packages are important, that we need to look at the entire water quality arena when it comes time to making improvements in water quality.
Thank you.
Okay. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Ralph, I'm going to call you up. We only have two places up here, so you're going to have to kind of jockey back and forth between the one over there to your right. Ralph Groner, Karen Williams, and Kevin Downing.
Thank you very much, Chair Devlin, Co-Chair Rayfield, distinguished members of the committee. I am here only to proudly introduce the people who do the work that you're all talking about. One, I'd like to introduce our past president of our local, 3336 DEQ, Kevin Downing, who's well known not only in Oregon for air and diesel work, but nationally. And then our current president, Local 3336 Water, Karen Williams, who's considered an expert in the grassroots dealing with water. That's all I have to say. Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Ms. Williams and Mr. Downing, please proceed when you're ready.
Co-Chair Rayfield, Co-Chair Devlin, and members of the committee, thank you for the opportunity to testify. My name is Karen Williams, and I do indeed serve the members of AFSCME Local 3336 as their current president. I testify today in support of the budget for the Department of Environmental Quality that will help us as workers to fulfill the mission of the agency, which is to be a leader in protecting and restoring the quality of Oregon's land, air, and water. I ask you to consider that some of the funding requested restores positions and programs hit hardest by the 2011 layoffs in water and air monitoring and assessment, and will help us provide the permitting service that the regulated community justifiably expects. DEQ staff have worked diligently to understand and to participate in process and system improvements in our agency over the last 3 years. To live up to the ideals of outcome-based management, focus on highest priorities, find the root causes of problems and redundancy, and engage fully in finding the solutions. We've taken on these tasks while still writing complex permits, administering grants to communities, responding to complaints, inspecting hazardous facilities, and restoring contaminated sites to productive use. Some of the funding packages that you'll be considering would allow us to follow through on these process improvements that we've identified. The funding would support information technology, data management, and workforce development. Not only could this enhance our employees' job satisfaction, but help us to be more efficient, more responsive, and more transparent with the public. And these systems need to be built in-house, designed, vetted, and tested by the people who do the work at DEQ. Again, thank you for the opportunity to testify. Thank you for your careful consideration, and thank you for your support of our work.
Good morning, Chair Devlin and Chair Rayfield, members of the committee. My name is Kevin Downing. I'm speaking here today as a private citizen. I live in the city of Portland, but I work for the Department of Environmental Quality, and I wanted to thank you for the work that you do in evaluating the budget's proposals presented by the agencies before you. It's actually probably some of the less glamorous work that's done in the building, and maybe some of the most tedious work, but certainly the most fundamental work, because it supports the work of my fellow co-workers in the agency who, actually, to put it in context, I guess relay an observation from a lobbyist made several years ago. I think he was saying with some exasperation that one of the problems with the state is that DEQ employees, for instance, are too committed to the mission of the agency. But actually, an observation that I relay to you is actually a point of pride that, in fact, we are committed to protecting the environment, which not only leads to the high value that people place on the environment in Oregon, but also to the public health people in the state as well. In particular, I wanted to draw attention to Package 111, which is the air toxics monitoring package, which I think is very fundamental, frankly, to the mission of the agency in terms of gathering data. The data we collect are fundamental to making sound scientific decisions about the environment and its impact on people. We know, for instance, from modeling exercises that toxics in the air, beyond those that are the criteria pollutants you've normally seen, which are in good stead with, actually have an impact on people's health and at high levels. What the monitoring does is it allows us to isolate the sources of those
pollutants.
We can
still hear you, but
I know. It's my accompaniment here. I like
your fan club.
Yeah, my fan club. I arranged that. You know how much trouble that was to make that happen. But again, to say that the monitoring work allows us to underlie, to get specific information that actually confirms the modeling exercise, and also, frankly, also allows us to better serve those Oregonians that are adversely impacted by air toxics. That impact has what the agency's mission is all about is protecting the national resource capital base of the economy, as well as the human capital base of the economy, from which the economy thrives from further development of those resources. So again, I'd like to thank you for the time and considering your approval and support for this package, as well as the rest of the budget. I want to thank you sincerely for the work that you do. I really do appreciate that very much, and for the time and effort that you make here, and thanks for the opportunity to testify on behalf.
Thank you very much. Any questions?
I do have a question,
yes,
Mr. Chair.
Yes.
Thank you. Karen and Kevin, thank you both very much for coming. And some of the comments you made, Kevin, just about the sort of professionalism of the staff at DEQ. You know, I've always been impressed with the commitment and professionalism of the staff. But DEQ, of course, is always under attack, you know, in some form or another. So I'm wondering how the morale is in the agency right now from your perspective. I know it's always a challenge for scientists trying to do their work in a world that is where people have different agendas. So, you know, I'm just wondering how if there's a sense of frustration, is there a sense of that we're moving forward? If you could answer that. Sorry for springing this on.
No, that's okay. Chair Devlin and Chair Rayfield, Senator Denbrough. I think that I would characterize the morale of the agency as generally good. I think that there's a desire that people have that we can do better in the work that we do, but that we're actually in good stead generally with the progress that we're making and the protections that we're offering for people in terms of the environmental in the environment that we all live and share.
Chair Rayfield, Chair Devlin, and Senator Denbrough, thank you for that question. I would concur, I think, in my observation that the workers at DEQ have a relentless optimism and dedication to the importance of the work that we're doing, and that really sustains us in times of admitted frustration and with the slowness of how things work and knowing what the answer is, but finding it difficult to communicate that effectively. That is indeed frustrating, but having that dedication to knowing that our job is to protect public health and the environment drives us on and keeps us coming back every morning. So thank you for that question.
Anything additional? Thank you very much for coming today. We'll call up Peggy Lynch and Mike Dewey.
Good morning. Peggy Lynch, League of Women Voters of Oregon, co-chairs and members of the committee. You have on OLIS our long testimony because we actually follow the many programs of DEQ, so I won't take the time to go through it all, but I do want to highlight a couple of things. POP 128 that you heard about, the Clean Water Partnership, and you heard Freshwater Trust's comments. Data-driven policy decisions will provide the best outcomes and help focus limited state dollars on the programs that will help us meet the goal of abundant clean water for all in the future. And I want to share that the development of the Integrated Water Resources Strategy provided that platform for an increased cross-agency conversation. It was a great investment, money that you all invested, and provides a return on that investment for years to come. That project allowed for greater conversation with our federal agencies as well. So we support 128. We support POPs 150, 120, 121, 123, and 126 because they are a package addressing our clean water issues. I am honored to serve on the Blue Ribbon Committee that was mentioned, and I have listened to the agency and the various industry members and environmental people who serve on that committee. We are willing to support the concept of having an outside contractor review the agency's processes. We are frustrated as industry by the fact that we are not getting permits done in a timely manner and making sure that they are the right permits addressing the issues. Our members pay those fees, and if the 12% is added, our citizens will be paying those fees from municipal wastewater and stormwater fees and possible higher costs on products. But if the result is clean water, that's what we need to do. I also want to emphasize the on-site septic program, Senate Bill 246, which was not, frankly, in the governor's budget. But we feel really strongly and have been working very hard that we need to address the issues behind clean water rather than spending all this money fixing it after it's dirty. And this is part of what the on-site septic program does provide. We support POP 111, 132. We supported testimony in support of Senate Bill 262 related to POP 138 related to vessel and oil transport. We are very concerned about oil transport flowing through Oregon, and we need to find ways to address it in all its various ways. We do have one comment. We have reservations related to POP 124. The description says that there is a need for a senior-level policy position in the governor's office related to the Portland Harbor Superfund site. We believe that the Department of State Lands and others who are now working on this important issue can competently complete the task without yet another position in the governor's office. DEQ is at the core of Oregon's public health and environmental protection. It has a broad mission that, if fulfilled, affects every Oregonian. Investing in its many responsibilities is money well spent. Thank you.
Thank you. Mr. Dewey.
Thank you, Mr. Co-Chairs, members. Good morning. My name is Mike Dewey, representing Waste Management, the company Waste Management. Before I get into what we are supporting here today, let me just give you some background on facilities in Oregon. Waste Management has made substantial investments, has substantial employment, operates two landfills, solid waste landfills, one in Gillum County. The methane creates electricity. That electricity goes to Seattle. Seattle's garbage comes down from rail to the Gillum County Columbia Ridge landfill. So that's a nice connection. And it's a good urban-rural decision. We have another landfill in Yamhill County. We have a dry waste landfill in Hillsborough. We have a material recovery facility, and this is for material that is not petrescible waste, recovering that in the market. Wood is a problem today in terms of those markets. That'll change hopefully over time. We have three transfer stations. We have a collection business in Klamath Falls, Portland, Beaverton, Tigard, and the like. We just are in the process of converting all of our collection trucks over time to compressed natural gas. We have 166 trucks in Northeast Portland. 80 have now been converted. We have 67 in the Forest Grove area. It's a lot of trucks. 33 have been converted, new trucks. And that's a substantial effort on behalf of the environment in terms of greenhouse gases and also particulates. It's very costly to do because the fueling stations are very, very expensive, and the trucks are about $75,000 to $80,000 more than a diesel truck. But the company has made that investment because it's good for the environment. So with that, what I wanted to say is that we support the permit fee increases on solid waste. Ours are on the air side and on the solid waste side, and we have a number of facilities. It is a substantial increase, but we support it because we need the permits, and we need those on a timely basis. So we have continued to support those. We are having ongoing conversations about the tip fee increase, which is in Senate Bill 245 in the Senate Environment Committee. We're having an ongoing discussion about where the FTE may go for that, because we have some ideas about that. But with regard to permit fees, we are very supportive of that. And usually you may not hear that from business, but we do need these permit fees to continue to operate. So with that, co-chairs, I'd be happy to answer any questions.
Okay. Any questions? Seeing none, thank you both for coming today. Tom Wolf and Mark Landauer.
Co-Chair Devlin, Co-Chair Rayfield, committee members. For the record, my name is Tom Wolf, Executive Director of the Oregon Council of Trout Unlimited. I'm here to support the EQ budget, HB 5018. We feel this is very important. Just let me speak about my group just briefly. We have in the state of Oregon, we have 14 paid staff positions. We have 2,800 members. Our concern is the protection and restoration of watersheds for wild salmonids. We do a lot of work in those issues, and DEQ is very important to our work because they address water quality, in particular temperature. Salmonids, as you know, whether they be salmon, red band trout, coastal cutthroats, generally need a water temperature in a comfort range of no higher than 68 degrees Fahrenheit. And if it gets much higher than that, they start to stress out. And during the summer, the largest culprit of mortality for salmon and trout is high stream temperatures, which not only impacts them that way, but causes less dissolved oxygen to be in the water. So what the work that DEQ does is very vital to for protection of stream temperature and water quality, and for the work that we do. So we urge that you pass their budget and continue to provide adequate staffing for the important work they do. We also support POPs 121, 123, 126, and 128, and 136. And 136 addresses another important issue, is ballast water. One of the issues that I'm very key on is invasive aquatic species. The greatest source of invasive aquatic species that are introduced to the United States are in ballast water. The work the DEQ does on that is very vital also. And lastly, I'd just like to close with the fact that, and I've testified on several budgets here already, but the natural resource agencies in Oregon are not getting as much funding as they should be, and I don't blame anybody, but they're very important to all the key environmental and economic factors in this state. Right now, for example, salmon fishing and trout fishing in Oregon generates almost $1 billion a year to the economic coffers, primarily of rural areas. If water quality is impacted, if water quantity is impacted, if habitat is impacted, there's no money for those small communities. So we urge you to support DEQ's budget requests, and we urge you to support all natural resource budget requests. Thank you.
Mr. Landau.
Good morning, Co-Chairs Devlin and Rayfield, members of the committee. My name is Mark Landau. I'm here on behalf of the Special Districts Association of Oregon. Our association has approximately 950 district members, many of whom provide sewer treatment and stormwater treatment. I'm here to just briefly talk about policy option package number 123, which proposes to increase water quality permit fees by 12%. Well, we are neutral on the increase, and we've received assurances from the director that if, in fact, that were to go forward, their ability to statutorily increase fees by 3% a year would take a timeout for the upcoming biennium. Needless to say, we're in a difficult position here. We're very much reliant on the department to issue these permits. However, they've had a persistent and long-term problem in the ability to get these permits out the door, resulting in a rather substantial backlog, which was mentioned previously. We'll be neutral on the fee increase. However, we are thankful to Director Peterson and his staff for working with us and being very transparent in acknowledging that there is a problem, in trying to find new ways and avenues to address the problem. And we'll be very supportive in working with him on hopefully addressing and putting forth a budget note that you will consider for inclusion in this budget. And with that, I'm happy to take any questions.
Any questions from the panel? Seeing none, thank you both very much. Hopefully I don't mispronounce this. Tracy Rattan and Sean Cleave.
Co-Chair Devlin, Co-Chair Rayfield, members of the committee, for the record, my name is Tracy Rutten with the League of Oregon Cities. I'm here today on behalf of Oregon's 242 cities, many of which provide wastewater services to the communities that they represent. I want to take a moment to thank the director, Director Peterson, and his staff for the work that they have done. We support the budget of DEQ. We rely upon the agency in many ways and many aspects. I want to not reiterate some of the testimony you just heard from Mr. Landau with Special Districts Association, but we have been extensively involved with the Blue Ribbon Committee process. It's been probably about a year now, I believe, since DEQ first introduced the notion of a fee increase to to us as an organization. It is a difficult position, and that's why we wanted to take just a quick moment to reiterate that this is a difficult position. We are neutral on the fee increase. We would like to see the improvements that we rely upon, and we look forward to working with the agency on the budget note, which we do support, and hope that the committee will support that effort as well to get an outside consultant to take a look at that program and see how we can improve upon some of the performance measures that really matter to the communities that we serve. I also want to mention that we are in support of the on-site septic loan program. This is an item that was a priority for our LOC Water and Wastewater Policy Committee. It's something that we've had a number of committees from across the state that range in size and geographic location identify as a priority for their area. It's often thought of as a rural area issue, but there are many septic systems failing within our cities that we represent. I also want to note that we've worked very closely with the agency on the materials management package. We are part of the work group process and are in support of the fees and the package and the restoration of that program as well. And I'm happy to take any questions that you might have.
Okay. We'll go to Mr. Cleave first, and then we'll come back.
Chair Devlin, Co-Chair Rayfield. For the record, my name is Sean Cleave, representing Oregon Association of Realtors and the 1,300 roughly members that we have across the state. In support of DEQ's budget, we have a strong working relationship regarding our continuing education opportunities for our members, most recently regarding the removal of oil tanks on properties, and we are also supportive of the funding package for the failing septic systems. And with that, I'll answer any questions that you might have.
Yeah. Any questions for the panel? Seeing none, thank you both very much.
Yep.
Angela Crowley Koch and Mark Nystrom.
Angela Crowley Cook, Legislative Director for Oregon Environmental Council. OEC supports the DEQ budget request. The services that DEQ provides, protecting the health and safety of our land, air, and water, are critical for Oregon's economy and the health and quality of our state's residents. In order to maintain this exceptional quality of life and to address some of the problems that you've seen during these hearings with our air and water quality, DEQ must be adequately funded, and really it should be funded at a higher level than was requested. And so therefore, we urge you to support what's in the bill and consider additional funding for some of these items. I've given my written testimony, but I wanted to highlight a few things that we feel are really important. Package 120 for wastewater permitting. Oregon has more outdated wastewater permits than any other state, so we really need to address this issue, and this POP will help that. Package 121, water quality assessment. The last time Oregon updated its list of stream reaches that are water quality impaired, the EPA had to chime in because DEQ didn't have enough resources to analyze the data at the state level themselves. So that really needs to be funded. Package 123 is wastewater permitting. We support the consultant that was brought up earlier. And in addition to that, we hope that the audit of the wastewater permitting includes an assessment of what staffing levels would be necessary in order to process permits in a timely manner. Package 128, the Clean Water Partnership. As Mr. Whitman said earlier, we have a lot of different water quality programs in different agencies, and it's really important that they're coordinating to make sure that everything is streamlined. And we need, in order to actually address our water quality issues, we need to be able to show progress over time and where we need to focus attention. So that's a critical piece. Lastly, on water, we urge you not to cut a position in the groundwater program that's included in the reduction package. The groundwater protection program is very small as it is, and 70% of our state's population relies on groundwater for either primary or secondary source of drinking water. So we urge you to keep that intact. And on the clean air side, package 111 is air toxics monitoring. We like that
program, and really we need additional funds in order to restore positions working on clean diesel. So that's a really key piece. And lastly, we support Package 132. Green chemistry represents an arena where Oregon can both protect the environment and human health while fostering innovation and entrepreneurship to help our economy. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Mr. Nystrom.
Chair Devlin, Co-Chair Rayfield. My name is Mark Nystrom. I represent the Association of Oregon Counties. I want to start off by saying that DEQ has always been easy to work with for the counties. Director Peterson and their staff have always been responsive, respectful, and willing to solve problems with us. Counties and DEQ work together in a number of ways. DEQ oversees the on-site septic program. 24 of our counties actually operate the program. Materials management team works with our solid waste infrastructure and our landfills. Counties are permit holders for the water quality programs, and counties interact with DEQ with the air quality program. We feel it's essential to the counties that DEQ have adequate staff available to assist counties in getting permits in a timely manner to provide us with technical assistance on how to best meet permit requirements. Over the past 2 years, counties and DEQ have worked closely with the 2013 on-site septic budget note work group. This was a work group that came together to try to look for efficiencies in the on-site program. We met for about 6 months and came up with some solutions, just kind of wrapping that work up right now. Really appreciate DEQ's on-site team. They've been excellent. One of the things that has kind of come out of that work is Senate Bill 246, which would be the on-site loan program. We're in support of that as well. DEQ has worked with us on paint care. Paint care hasn't been all that we hoped it would be, but DEQ has been working as an ally to try to fix the problems that the counties are having with that program. And then the materials management work group, they met 22 times over the last couple of years. Counties feel really good about their involvement in that program, and we're supportive of the two bills that came from that program. Just want to say that one of our counties, Little Crook County, probably could have been easily ignored, had an issue with one of the bills. DEQ staff was really responsive and has come up with an amendment to the bills. So we really appreciate that kind of attention to detail and acknowledging that some of our rural counties are struggling to meet all the goals that are out there. So AOC supports the work that DEQ has been doing and look forward to working with them in the future.
Any questions for the panel? Seeing none, thank you both very much. Mr. Friese, or Friese, is there anyone else who hasn't testified who would like to? Seeing none, I guess you're the close.
Perfect. Co-Chair Devlin, Co-Chair Rayfield, good morning. My name is Mike Friese for the record. Represent Associated Oregon Industries. We are here fully in support of DEQ's budget. It's really important as we have ongoing conversations about all the environmental impacts that we have in Oregon and how do we address those and things we need to do to stay in federal compliance. Many of our members, we have about 1,500 member businesses that employ approximately 200,000 people. Many of those businesses rely heavily on DEQ to issue permits, both air, water, land quality related permits. And so in order to do that on a timely fashion and with confidence to the public that they have some real meaning and some science behind them, we need the staff fully funded and enough FTE to do that. So as we talk about fee increases in the budget, we support those with hope that with another position, at least temporarily, to review how those water quality permits are issued to find some solution there so that we can start getting timely, efficient, and quality permits out the door. With that, I'm happy to take any questions.
Okay. Any questions? Seeing none, thank you very much.
Thank you.
Mr. Peterson, this completes phase one. Is there any closing comments you want to make to the committee?
Thank you, Co-Chair Devlin, Co-Chair Rayfield, members of the committee. For the record, Dick Peterson, Director of DEQ. This will be very short. I just want to really thank the folks that came to speak to you about DEQ's budget today. Obviously, we pay very close attention to that and stakeholders and the impact that you know that we have on Oregonians and the importance of our work for Oregonians. I'll repeat what's said before. I really appreciate the work that you do. And my job is to help you make informed decisions, and I really take that seriously. And so we'll be working closely with Mr. Siebert between now and work session. It's certainly available to you, any one of you individually, if you have any questions about DEQ's budget or DEQ's program to help you make those informed decisions. But I appreciate all your work, and thank you for your time this last few days.
Thank you. Any final questions? Seeing none, thank you very much, and thank you everyone for coming today to testify. That will conclude our meeting for today.
And no meeting tomorrow.
I'm going to miss.
Yeah.
I'm going to miss.
Yeah.